The message that you're about to hear is entitled Sunday or Sabbath by Dr. Curtis Hudson and was recorded on Sunday morning, October 17, 1971 at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And now, Dr. Curtis Hudson.
All right, with your Bible open, let's read together Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now this is the fourth commandment, and probably the one commandment that there's more misunderstanding about than any of the other of the Ten Commandments. Now there are three major positions regarding the Sabbath and Sunday. I've written them on a chalkboard here. It's unfortunate that all of you cannot see this board. I said last Sunday I wanted to be able to get one of these overhead projectors, I think it is, so we could make outlines and all of you could see it. I hope maybe by next Sunday we'll have it. Didn't make it this Sunday. But in case you cannot see the chalkboard, I have written on this the three major positions regarding the Sabbath and Sunday. The first position is what I call the Sabbath position. The Sabbath position. The second position is what I call the Christian Sabbath position. And the third position is what I call the Lord's Day position. Now, I want us to look at all three of these positions, and then we'll look at the Scripture and see what the Bible has to say. Because good, honest Christians who are seeking the truth want to know what the Bible has to say on every subject. First of all, the Sabbath position is this, that we keep the Sabbath as it was given in the Old Testament to the Hebrews or to the Jews, that the Jewish Sabbath is our Sabbath. And we'd observe the Sabbath just like they observed the Sabbath. Those who teach this position say that the Sabbath was not given at Sinai, but the Sabbath was given back in the book of Genesis, where God rested on the seventh day, and that it was not a part of the law. It was given before the law. We'll be looking at that in just a few minutes also. There is a group that claim that Sabbath keeping is essential to salvation. They don't say it in those words, but the Seventh-day Adventists, for instance, teach that Sunday observance is going to be the mark of the beast. Now, I do not know that all of them teach that because I have not personally interviewed every Seventh-day Adventist. But I did attend a Seventh-day Adventist meeting, and I heard a preacher or evangelist speak on the Sabbath. And as he spoke on the Sabbath or Sunday, he brought out his belief that the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 would be observing Sunday. And so, of course, if that's true, if observing Sunday is the mark of the beast, then the man who takes the mark of the beast is going to be lost according to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, or chapter 19, verse 20, if you want to turn there with me real quickly, you'll find out that the devil was cast into hell, and the false prophet, and the beast, and so on. And those that had worshipped the beast were also cast in. But let's look at it, Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. There are other verses in the book of Revelation that indicate those who take the mark of the beast will be lost. And it also indicates that those who refuse to take of the mark of the beast will be saved. For instance, Revelation 20, verse 4. John said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the testimony which they held, and these had not received the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the Adventists teach that this is the mark of the beast. I shouldn't make that a blanket because I don't know about all of them, but generally speaking, they do. I have some friends who are Adventist. I have some kinfolk who are Adventists, so I think I can speak this with authority. I've discussed the subject with them. I happen to know that. Now, this, of course, is not scriptural. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says the mark of the beast is keeping Sunday. That is not in the Bible. You'll search in vain for that verse. It's just not there. Now, the second position is this, the Christian Sabbath. And those who believe in the Christian Sabbath are those who say our Lord was resurrected on the first day of the week. And since the resurrection of our Lord, the Sabbath has been changed from the seventh, or Saturday, to the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And that Sunday should be observed as the Christian Sabbath. Those who take this view will use such expressions as, God bless our Sabbath school this morning, when it's really Sunday morning. And they'll use such expressions as Sabbath school. What's another one they would use? I'm trying to think. Well, no, Sabbath school is really what I had in mind, but I can't think of another. But they'll use expressions like that. As a matter of fact, I had a lady write the other day here. Don't worry about the good part. But a Baptist lady, and she said, one of your old rickety-raggedy buses came to our neighborhood and went on to say it was a lovely Sabbath, and we had been out to worship, and we were at home having our lunch, and the bus backfired and disturbed us on what otherwise would have been a beautiful, lovely Sabbath day. Well, what she didn't know, it wasn't the Sabbath. It was Sunday. She looked at her calendar, she'd have found out. It was Sunday, the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Now, it's surprising to me, as I study a subject like this, to find out how many great preachers of yesteryear who really believed in the Christian Sabbath. I read a book by D.L. Moody on the Ten Commandments. And man, Mr. Moody, would you believe this? Here's what he said, and I'm quoting him. He said, there are three great temptations today for the Christian. Number one, he said, the trolley car. That was a great temptation, wasn't it? And number two, he said, the bicycle. And number three, he said, the Sunday newspaper. There's the three greatest temptations he could name in his day. Trolley car, bicycle, and the Sunday newspaper. Now, that's in his book, Weighed and Found Wanting, in a little paperback book. He said, people will catch the trolley car and go out to the country and desecrate the Sabbath. Talking about Sunday. He talked about them getting on their bicycles and riding out in the country on their bicycles on an excursion for the entire Sabbath day, speaking of Sunday. He talked about reading the newspaper on the Sabbath day. And he said they delivered to his house sometime, but he always tore it up because it was the Sabbath. I was surprised to find that he implied by what he had to say that Sunday was the Sabbath. What they do is they say Sunday's the Sabbath, and they take all the restrictions regarding the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, and they apply it to Sunday. But you won't find a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not work on Sunday. That's not in the Bible. The only place you're going to get that is back where he said, on the Sabbath day you shall work 6 days, and then on the Sabbath day you shall rest. What they're doing is taking what it says about the Sabbath and applying it to Sunday. Now, I honestly think that both of these are unscriptural positions. We're not to observe the Jewish Sabbath. Neither is Sunday the Christian Sabbath. The third position is the Lord's Day position. Now, there's not a verse in the Bible that says Sunday is the Lord's Day. That is not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I can only think of one time where the Lord's Day is mentioned. It's probably mentioned more, but one time I can think of, and that's in Revelation 1:10, where it says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, we call it the Lord's Day because John was evidently worshiping on this day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And you go back to the New Testament, as we'll see in a few moments, and you'll find out that the early Christians assembled for worship on the Lord's Day. Let's turn quickly to Acts chapter 20. I think it's verse 7. I don't have this marked, but Acts 20, verse 7. Hope I'm right. If I'm not, I'll be embarrassed. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week. Now, how does your calendar start off? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. All right, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Say, he's a long-winded preacher, wasn't he? He preached to midnight. That gives me some ideas. And upon the first day of the week, notice they assemble on the first day of the week to break bread. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 16, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 2. First Corinthians 16, verse 2. Let's take verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week. Now evidently he had given order to other churches as to what to do, and he's telling them to do the same thing that he had told other churches to do, and here's what he told them. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He's talking about receiving offerings, the collections for the saints, helping the needy. Have your offering ready when you assemble together on the first day of the week. Justin Martyr wrote in A.D. 184, I believe it was, that it was the custom of Christians to meet together on the first day of the week. Now, they'll come back and object like this. They'll say, but look at the times in the Bible where it says Paul went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and preached, and Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and preached, and you'll find that in the New Testament several times. But there's nothing wrong with that, because you see, the Jews who were given the Sabbath met in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and if you're going to preach to them, you wouldn't go there on the first day of the week because they wouldn't be there. Right or wrong? Huh? If I was going to preach to the people at some mill around here, and I wouldn't go on Sunday when the mill was closed down and preach to that group of people when they were not there. If I wanted to preach to a group of Jews assembled and they would allow me in the synagogue, I wouldn't go to the synagogue today because they're not there today. I'd go when they were gathered there. So that's very easy. Somebody else says, oh yes, but doesn't the Bible say that Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom? Yeah, it does say that. But was Jesus a Jew or Gentile? Yeah, he was a Jew, so it was his custom. But Jesus nowhere in the Bible taught anyone to keep the Sabbath, not one time. He never intimated it. Paul in all his epistles never intimated one time that anybody ever keep the Sabbath. And of all the sins that Jesus denounced in the New Testament, you will not find him one time denouncing the sin of breaking the Sabbath. Not one time. As a matter of fact, contrary to that, you'll find many times that Jesus himself was called into question for breaking the Sabbath. You have an instance of this in John chapter 5, where he healed a man, and they said he not only broke the Sabbath, that's John 5:18, he not only broke the Sabbath, but he's made himself equal with God. Jesus didn't say, I did not break the Sabbath. You have the same thing back in Matthew chapter 12. When his disciples walked through the field on the Sabbath and plucked ears of corn. And Jesus did not scold them or say, you've committed a sin. You cannot find a place where he ever scolded anybody, or not one time where he ever pointed out Sabbath breaking as a sin. You will not find out where the apostles in the Bible ever taught any of the New Testament churches to observe the Sabbath. If you'll just search in vain, it is not there. It is not in the Bible. All right? Then let's go back to the Sabbath and talk about it a moment, and we'll come on through. Number one, what is the Old Testament Sabbath? All right, turn to your commandment in Exodus chapter 20, and we'll settle that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of thy Lord thy God. All right, the Sabbath then is the seventh day, which today would be Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the last day. All right, number two. That settles what it is. Number two, it's an Old Testament and not a New Testament command, as I have just shown you and what I've said in the last two or three minutes. It's a part of the Mosaic Law and was never given to anybody but the Jews under the law. Now, we've already seen when we started these lessons on the Ten Commandments, and we had the lesson entitled The Scriptures and the Law, we have seen that the law was given to Israel, and I don't want to go back and repeat everything that I said, but if you want to jot some verses down, here they are. Deuteronomy 4:1-8. Deuteronomy 5:1, Mark 12:29, Romans 9:4, and there are many others that says that the law was given to Israel. And the law was never given to Gentiles. Romans 2:14, the Gentiles which have not the law. The law was not given to Christians. Romans 6:14, we're not under law, but under grace. So we have seen then that the law was given to the Jews and that the Sabbath is a part of the Mosaic law. Now, what you're probably thinking is this, and what I've had people say, well then, since we're not under the law, I guess we can go out and kill, can't we? Because it's the law that says thou shalt not kill. And they say, since we're not under the law and we have to keep the Sabbath, I suppose we can go out and commit adultery because it's the law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. And so they get the Christian to thinking, I know we're not supposed to kill. I know we're not supposed to commit adultery. I know we're not supposed to steal. And the same law that says keep the Sabbath said that. Oh, what am I to do? Just remember this, that what God required in one dispensation, He may require in another dispensation. If He says to a man living in one period of time, thou shalt not kill, He may also say to a man in another period of time, thou shalt not kill. But you're not to take the command. In other words, one city may have a speed limit of 60 miles an hour. That does not mean that no other city in the world can have the same speed limit. They must change theirs. Since it's the speed limit of Atlanta, then I can go 70 in Decatur. No, not if in Decatur there's speed limit 62. 60 also. You see what I'm saying? So God can also say in one dispensation, thou shalt not kill, and the other dispensation, thou shalt not kill. And you'll find in the New Testament, of the 10 commandments, you'll find 9 of the commandments in the New Testament, and many of them you'll find repeated over and over again. But you will not find the commandment regarding the Sabbath in the New Testament. What God has done is brought over in the dispensation of grace the other 9 commandments and also added commandments to it and made the commandments stricter than they were in Old Testament times by saying if you look on a woman to lust after you've committed adultery. In the Old Testament, you had to commit the act. Now, if you look in lust, you've already committed in your heart. In the Old Testament, you had to kill a man to be a murderer. Now, he's saying, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. Let me show to you that in the New Testament, you'll have 9 of the commandments. I'll just show you one place, and then you can find the commandments repeated over and over again in other places, but you'll search in vain for the commandment of the Sabbath in the New Testament. We do not refuse to commit murder because it says it in Exodus chapter 20. We do it because it says it under the dispensation of grace. We're not under law. Any way you look at it, we're not under law. You're either under law or grace, and we're not under law. We're under grace, and I praise God for it. And this is not a license to sin, as we've already seen. Turn to Romans chapter 13, if you will, please. Romans chapter 13. And let's look at verse 8 through verse 10. Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, one commandment. Thou shalt not kill, two commandments. Thou shalt not steal, three. Thou shalt not bear false witness, four. Thou shalt not covet, five. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What did I tell you when we started these commandments? I carried you to the book of Matthew chapter 22, and where the lawyer asked Jesus a great commandment, and he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second's likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do that, you'll fulfill the commandments. Paul said that these are comprehended in the commandment, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit adultery. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill him. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't be stealing from him. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will not be bearing false witness against him. Neither will you be coveting his possessions. These are fulfilled when you love your neighbor like you ought to love your neighbor. All right? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Here you'll find another commandment. Ephesians chapter 6. verse 1 and verse 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So here he brings it in and tells the church at Ephesus and the children to obey their parents and honor their father and their mother and so forth. Turn to James 5, if you will, verse 12. James 5, and here you have the one concerning the sacredness of speech. James 5:12, that's page 1310, if you have an old Scofield Bible. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. That's your yes, yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into condemnation. So here you have the third commandment. Don't be swearing at all. Turn to 1 John 5:21. Just a little bit further over. 1 John 5:21. Here you have another commandment. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. There you have the first and second commandment in that one verse. Now, I could go on all morning showing you verses in the New Testament where 9 of the 10 commandments has been repeated. But you'll search in vain in the New Testament for a repetition of the Sabbath commandment. It is not in the New Testament. Now, Sabbath breaking was never once mentioned as a sin in the New Testament. Jesus never commanded his disciples to keep the Sabbath. And he was accused himself of breaking the Sabbath. Jesus did not teach anybody to keep the Sabbath. The apostles did not teach the New Testament churches to observe the Sabbath. If you can prove me wrong on this, I'll be glad to listen to you next Sunday morning. Paul in all his epistles never intimated that Christians observed the Sabbath, not one time. The only thing you can say is that Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and preached, and the only reason he did that is because they assembled there at that particular time. So then, the third thing I want to say is that the Sabbath, as a law, is distinctly Jewish. You want to write that down. It's distinctly Jewish. Now turn to Exodus again, if you will, please. We'll find this. Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 2. Now let's see who they address to. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Who is that? Was that you? Were you in the land of Egypt? Were you in the house of bondage? That was Israel. That was the Jewish nation, Israel. So it's addressed to the Jews. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. And that's page 840 if you have a Scofield Bible. Help you find it. Help me find it too. Ezekiel chapter 20. And let's look at verse 10, verse 12. Verse 10, verse 12. We'll look at the first part of verse 13 too. Make sure you know who he's speaking to. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt. Who's he talking about? Israel. And brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them, underline the word them, my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and, what's the next word? Them. Me and the church? Or me and them? Which is it? Me and them. So he says, I gave the Sabbath to the Jews to be a sign to set them apart as a distinct nation. They'll know that they are that particular nation because they will keep the Sabbath. He also gave them circumcision to set them apart. All right, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, that's page 550. Nehemiah chapter 9. We'll see again that it was given to Israel for a sign. And you'll see something else here in Nehemiah 9, verse 13 and following. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath. Hey, Verse 14 says that they didn't know about it before now. Before when? Before he came down on Mount Sinai. Before the law was given in the book of Exodus, the Sabbath was not known to man. I said to man. There's no command for man to keep the Sabbath anywhere before the law was given at Sinai. Now, I know what people say. They'll say, go to Genesis. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We need a little more time this morning. Genesis 2. Verse 1 through verse 3. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from his work which God created and made. Now, do you see anywhere in those verses where God commanded man to keep the Sabbath? It simply says God finished his work in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested, and he sanctified the day, and he hallowed the day, because in it he rested. But he did not say anywhere here, nor between this time and Sinai when the law was given, he never said one time to keep the Sabbath. It was only at Sinai that the law was given to keep the Sabbath. And after Sinai, it was never given again to keep the Sabbath. It was only given to the Jews. It was distinctively Jewish. It was a sign between the Jews and God, you keep this particular day. It was given as a special sign. You might want to write that down. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. I may ought to skip some of this. So there's some other things I'd like to bring in here. Exodus 31. Verse 12 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, and we know who that is, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Drop down to verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Remember that. Drop down to verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Did you know when Jesus Christ returns and sets down on David's throne, and Israel, who's promised the Holy Land forever, will go back there and they'll dwell in the Holy Land forever and ever and ever. Did you know they're going to keep the Sabbath as a perpetual sign? How long? Forever. Forever. So it's a sign between God and Israel. Now, another thing you want to remember is this. And this is good for those who believe in the Sunday Sabbath position, or Christian Sabbath position, that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday after the resurrection, and the restriction of the Sabbath now apply to the first day of the week, the so-called Lord's Day. Now, if that is true, then I don't know what we're doing here worshiping on Sunday. And I don't know what I'm doing pastoring, because I work hard on Sunday than any day in the week. It takes me all day Monday to recuperate from Sunday. And the Sabbath was not given as a day of worship, but as a day of rest. Go back to the original Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Not one time are they told to worship on the Sabbath. You say, but didn't they meet in the New Testament on the Sabbath? Yes, but the custom of meeting in the synagogue for worship on the Sabbath came in somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere between the time the Sabbath was given and New Testament days. But it was not given as part of the command. Nowhere do you find that. In fact, you're not even supposed to build a fire on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to pick up sticks. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. All right? Remember the Sabbath day, verse 8, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. By the way, there's two commands here. And if one is more important than the other, I'd think the first was more important than the second, wouldn't you? And the first command is, 6 days shalt thou labor. Now, that's good for you. For to work 6 days, Why would you go after the last part of it and keep the Sabbath so sacred if you didn't keep the first part of it? What are you doing taking off 3 days a week? What are you doing trying to get a four-day week? The most harmful thing that can happen to our country is to get a four-work-day week. You have too much time now. There's too much idle time and men having nothing to do and they're getting into mischief. We're better off when we work from sun up to sun down. You've heard the saying, man's work from sun to sun, woman's work is never done. And I said, it's because she never does it. But it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. Thou shalt go to Sunday school and morning service and training union and evening service and have 100% attendance. Does it say that? No, that's what those who take the Christian Sabbath position say. That's not what it says about the Sabbath. In it, notice it, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of thy Lord. In it thou shalt not do A-N-Y. What does that spell? Any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Sabbath was not a day of worship, but a day of rest. Now, there's a spiritual application of all scriptural passages. But don't confuse the spiritual application with the primary interpretation. They're two different things. It is good that man rests, and it also is good that man work. And man ought to have a time of rest because he can do more work in 6 days than he can in 7 days without any rest. It's good for that. But not too many people in my congregation need to be told to rest. They've already learned how. See? Also, God gave a Sabbath for the land. He said, 6 years you'll work the land. On the seventh year, you don't plant any crops. You let the land lie idle. He gave this for the sake of conserving the soil. And the Jews violated the command about the Sabbath for the land for 490 years, and God had them carried into captivity for how many years, you reckon? 70 years. That means how many Sabbaths did they miss in 490 years? 70. Isn't it strange that he had them carried into captivity and gave the land their 70 Sabbaths that the Jews would not give them because of their greediness? They worked it that year and tried to get more out of the land instead of letting it rest, and God said, okay, I'll let my land have its rest. God did that for the conservation of the soil. So they were Sabbath years too, you see. All right? It's not a day of worship, but it's a day of rest. Purely a day of rest. And I can't overemphasize that. Now the next thing I'd like to say is the Sabbath was suitable for the Jews in Palestine, but it's not suitable for all people of all lands. The Sabbath, as you know, is from sundown to what? Anybody know? Sundown again, isn't it? From sundown to sundown, entire 24 hours. Suppose you lived in a country where the sun goes down and doesn't come up for 3 months. Now, a fellow over there is trying to keep the Sabbath being a mess. Suppose you live in a country where the sun went down and didn't come up for 6 months and it stayed dark for 6 months. He could not keep the Sabbath from sundown to sundown. But in the land of Palestine, they could because it's not over 3 minutes difference between one side of Palestine and the other. It's only 100 miles across. And as the sun moves, the time difference is not over 3 minutes, but it would be in other parts of the world. God knew what he was doing when he gave it to the Jews, instead of for all people of all ages and everywhere. Show you something else. Turn to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35, verse 1 through verse 3. And Moses gathered all the congregation of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, and on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. You found this two or three times already. We'll come back and talk about that. Verse 3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. The word kindle comes from the word Greek word B-A-A-R, which means to burn. You shall burn no fire in your dwellings on the Sabbath. Now, that is suitable for people who live in Palestine because the weather is not that severe. They can go without fire. But that would not be suitable for a fellow living in a country where the temperature dropped to 60 below zero. He could not go a day without fire. And I saw something on TV several weeks ago where they were at the Antarctic, I believe it was, and they had to go down under the ice and stay there, and it was dark for, I don't forget how long. Anybody know how long it stays dark before the sun comes back up there? Somebody said 6 months. Somebody said three. You're dumb as I am. But it was a long time. Now, suppose that it was their Sabbath from sundown to sundown, and they're over there in that 30 below zero weather, and they couldn't build a fire for the whole Sabbath day. Well, when the Sabbath was over, they wouldn't have to worry about keeping another Sabbath. Because they'd be popsicles. Right? What I'm saying is that the Sabbath is not suited for all people of all places across the world, but it was suited for the Jews to whom it was given. God is not someone who doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and they could keep the Sabbath. But a person somewhere else could not keep the Sabbath as the Jews had to keep the Sabbath. Another thing, suppose you're going west and you go around the world. You move with the sun, what do? You lose a day. You go east, you gain a day and go around the world. That means you'd be 3 days apart. If one fellow went one direction, another fellow went the other direction, we'd be 3 days apart, and which one of us would have the right seventh day? Suppose you crossed the international date line. Days just click off. Suppose you crossed on Friday and it jumped back. You was going the direction where you had to set it back. You'd lose a day. You see, but if it's just for the land of Palestine and for the Jews when they were dwelling there and will be dwelling there in the future, then it can be kept. Otherwise, it's not suitable. Okay, let's move on to something else. And the man on the radio can turn us off whenever he's ready, because I'm going to go ahead for a few minutes. Okay, breaking the Sabbath meant death. Now, I'm just going to give you the passages, because we don't have much time left. Exodus 35, 1 through 3, we saw it a moment ago. Exodus 31, 15. Also, in Numbers 15, verse 32 through verse 36. You can read the story for yourself. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. A man was caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath and was brought to Moses, and he brought him to the congregation, and they stoned him to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Now, if you're going to take the Sabbath position and keep the Sabbath day, then you're going to do it like the Bible says. And you've got to follow through with the penalty of stoning a man if he fails or if he breaks the Sabbath. Okay, the New Testament and the Sabbath. Let's get that real quickly, and I have to hurry. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I have a way of getting just about to the end of these lessons every morning and having to stop. I didn't finish last Sunday morning. Colossians 2, verse 14 through verse 17. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, underline it, or in drink, underline it, or in respect of a holy day, underline it, or the new moon, underline it, or the Sabbath days. God says no man has a right to judge another man in respect of what? Meats, drinks, holy days, new moons, or Sabbath days. You ought to read that over and over. Over and over. You don't have a right, because God has nailed it to his cross. We're not under law, we're under grace. Always remember that. If the Seventh-day Adventist comes along, he says, and he judges us in regards to keeping Sunday and not keeping the Sabbath, he's doing what the Bible said we're not to let him do. Did you know that in the book of Galatians, turn with me, chapter 4, book of Galatians, chapter 4, that Paul was concerned about Christians who were keeping the Sabbath day? Galatians chapter 4. And to understand this, you must know what the book of Galatians is about. In the book of Galatians, Paul is discussing law and grace, and he's saying salvation is a matter of grace, not a matter of law. And yet he had some people who were supposed to be Christians. In verse 8, Paul said, "Howbeit then," this is Galatians 4, "when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God," you've trusted him, are known of God, how turn ye away to the weak and beggarly elements? Paul speaks of the law as being weak and beggarly elements. Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Why are you going to go back under the bondage again? Ye observe days, verse 10, and months, and times, and years. And Paul said in verse 11, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I have preached, I told you how to be saved, salvation's by grace through faith and the finished work of Jesus. And now you're going back and putting yourself under the law. I'm afraid, lest I've worked in vain. I don't think you understood what I was saying. Okay? So then the Sabbath position then is not scriptural. Neither is the Christian Sabbath position scriptural. And the New Testament, we saw a moment ago that on the first day of the week that they met for the breaking of bread, Paul instructed churches, not just one, but he said, I've also instructed other churches, now instruct you to have your offerings ready on the first day of the week. The first day of the week being Sunday, which was the day our Lord rose from the dead. If you have your Bible, if you have a notebook, you can jot this down. John 20:19, Luke 24, verse 1 through 3, Mark 16:9, Mark 16:2. Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week. Now, there's not a scripture that says the first day of the week is the Lord's day. You can decide for yourself. But Revelation 1:10 says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was meeting on the Lord's day, worshiping on the Lord's day. If that was a custom of the New Testament church, and John was following that custom, then the day that he was worshiping would have been the Lord's day. I won't split hairs over it, but I refer to Sunday as the Lord's day, the day our Lord arose from the dead, the day the New Testament Christians assembled for worship and were instructed to bring their offerings on that particular day. Now, here are some of the objections to keeping Sunday. And I've had them all because I have some kin folks who are Seventh-day Adventists and they've been to see me a couple of times. And they say the Catholics started Sunday worship and you're following the teachings of the Catholic Church. And the funny thing about it is that some of the Catholics, not all of them, but some of the Catholics admit that they did start Sunday worship. But what the Adventist does not know is that what the Catholic is saying when he says he started Sunday worship was that Peter was our first pope. And in the New Testament, the apostles began meeting on the first day of the week. That's all he's saying. He's not saying we changed it. He's just saying, yes, Peter was our first pope. And they did begin to meet in the New Testament on the first day of the week. That's all he's saying. Now, there's a difference in backing the keeping of the day and in starting the day. It is true that on many occasions, the Catholic Church has stood behind civil authorities and their enforcement of Sunday. But they were making it legalistic and making a Christian Sabbath out of it, and not a Lord's Day, not a day of worship, but a day of restrictions. And it's one thing to support the government when the government is making it a law to keep Sunday, and another thing to start Sunday as a day of worship. It's another thing altogether. Now, the second objection is this. They say if you keep Sunday, then you're keeping a day that's dedicated to the sun. Sunday is named after the sun. And you're worshiping the sun if you keep Sunday. Well, did you know that Saturday was named after Saturn? And if you keep Saturday, you're worshiping Saturn. No, the truth of it is that the names of the days of the week have been changed since Bible times. And when the first Christians began to meet on the first day of the week, it was not called Sunday, but it has been named Sunday since then. And Saturday has also been named Saturday since then. So you see, that is really no reason not to keep it. Let me give you one more thing, and I'll have to quit because I've got people who want to get in here. There's a spiritual application. Now, always remember this. All Scripture has a primary interpretation. All Scripture has spiritual applications that can be made. Number three, most Scripture has a prophetic revelation. Now, this is not the primary interpretation, but here's a spiritual application for you. The Old Testament Sabbath typifies salvation by works. 6 days shall thou work. And at the end of your work, then you enter into your rest. But the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, typifies salvation by grace. Number one, the very first day of the week, we're given salvation. And then we work the following 6 days because we have it, not to get it. You see the difference? One typifies salvation by works, the other typifies salvation by grace. I like the one that typifies salvation by grace. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we keep Sunday. And that's the reason we keep Sunday. I've had preachers get on me for going out to eat on Sunday. I wouldn't go to rest and eat on Sundays. Sabbath day. All they're doing is just saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. There are no restrictions on Sunday in the Bible. It's just a day where they met together and worshiped. And the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. He made all of them. And there's no more wrong. I might better stop right here. But I get mad at the fellow who tries to put me back under the weak and beggarly elements of the law and tie me up and tie me down. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. And I love God and I serve God and I try to live right. I do it not to be saved, because I am saved. And remember, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We meet here on the Lord's Day. Most people are off on Sunday. It'd be foolish for us to try to assemble on Wednesday morning and Wednesday nights. We do on Wednesday nights. But this is a day when we have off. It's a convenient day for us to meet together. It's the day the New Testament Christians met together. And the day our Lord arose from the dead signifies a new beginning. And so here we are on Sunday morning. But there, don't try to take the Sabbath restrictions and apply them to Sunday. If you do, you're going to have a hard time. And you'll put yourself back under the law, and you'll break it. And if you're going to try to keep the Sabbath, then we're going to help you. And we're going to get a committee around you and watch you close. And the first day we catch you praying, we're going to stone you to death for that water.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.